following has been paid for by adfreeshows.com.
I see we got to click this t-shirt there on someone. So who's smoking? Let's start with that. Let me go into my gallery view here. David is sparked. Let's see.
Oh, you! I've only got five people in my gallery.
You can scroll. Put your arrow next to the last person.
You fucking tell me what to do. I got Dom in the middle of my five. So I'm
that's
good.
All you need.
Yeah, I'm good. I feel balanced.
May I always see Dom. It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
All right. Hello to some of you that I can see. Sam holding up some jackknife right there. Can you see Sam Hantosh?
Hold on here. I'm flipping.
You're scrolling? Sam's holding up the jackknife. He's rolled and ready to fucking rock.
Nice. Have you smoked that before, Sam?
Loves it.
It's nice, isn't it, man? They tried to pass a fucking pure indica by me. They thought I didn't know my flower. I said, no, guys, I got to have a little sativa.
Got to have the sativa, right?
Got to.
And we got Wes in there. This is our regular weekly crew. We got Wes and I see Dom. Remember Magic Garden? Anyone remember that? Or was that a Northeast thing? It was like a kid's show, and she'd look into the mirror and she'd say names. She'd be like, I see John and Kevin. Oh, was that Romper Room? Romper Room, you're right. I see Kevin, and I see Dom, and I see Marcus.
She never said Kevin.
Oh, there had to be a god. I waited for a Sean, and it never happened. I guess my name was not in fashion yet.
Mine wasn't either. It was always... Steve and Jim and
I think Matt just took a hit. Am I right? Okay, he's rolling. Lindsay's here. Is this Cupcake Lindsay? Yes. Condolences, Lindsay. Sorry. We shouted you out on Monday's show. You'll hear it. You're part of the family here, so take care of our peeps. Well, we're all here for the same reason.
So I don't know if you see Matt, but Matt is fucking doing a little Claude Rains. He's back.
Oh, he's back. All right. Yeah, that's good.
Let's see, he's got some kind of a fucking apparatus.
Yeah. Mike Whitaker, he's loaded up. He's rocking.
Hey, Wes.
We're all here for the same reason. That's because, obviously, Hacksaw Duggan's not doing a watch-along tonight, so you came to ours.
Sweet.
Happy to have everyone. So this, we're going back to 1996 for this, okay? And we're going to Omaha at the Civic Center.
My last WWE match.
Last, yes, that's right.
That run.
The curtain call follows. That'll become poignant later because I have some questions about that. It's In Your House 7. I think this is the first In Your House that used like a title when they started titling the shows. This was Good Friends, Better Enemies. And I think from this point on, they titled all of their In Your House shows. But I think this was the first one. And
this did like a 0.64 buy rate or something, right?
This was a great number. It was actually also, I think, a good live. It was a sellout. And,
but that building only held about 95.
It was 10,000, right, or something like 10, that. And
I know it was sold out, but I remember we went to on top of the hotel we were staying at. Afterwards, me and Sean went up to they had revolving restaurant. We actually had Omaha fucking fillets. Imagine Omaha having steak. Omaha steaks in Omaha.
Huh? Right, that's like a fucking.
What's the chance of that?
Fall through into another dimension.
Yeah.
And all right, so why don't we start with
like having a Jersey streetwalker in Newark?
That's all your days at Looker's in Elizabeth is the problem. Waiting for your flight. How many teeth were in that fucking room, ladies included?
Shit, man! The fucking Looker's crowd. Back in the day, are you kidding me, man? You couldn't touch those girls? They were nothing but tens.
Oh, really? At Looker's?
Man, that was mob run. Nobody, that place was run by a bunch of guys, a mob. you know, gaggle, whatever you want to call it. But let's, no, man, that place was, man, that was, I don't know if anybody's from Elizabeth, but man, that place used to have some talent.
Yeah, I wonder today. I wonder. I'm not far from Elizabeth, and I just assumed because of the area that it might have been the skin poppers and streetwalkers on the stage.
Perfect. But it was perfect because the girls could pull right in off the interstate. Right off of nine. Come off 95. Of 9, 95.
Oh, yeah, 9, was, right, yeah.
Yeah. You go up the roadway, and you can't find anybody that's not from Brazil, but...
Right, Newark, yeah. Big, and Portuguese too. Big Portuguese population.
Portuguese population. Yeah, a lot of
good
Brazilian
steakhouses, lives. Though. Some of those Portuguese steakhouses.
I was just talking about ass, man.
Right. Always goes back to food.
Yeah, right.
Been married a long time.
Rump roast.
Well, let's check out the package that they. Speaking of package, let's check out the package that they ran for the In Your House 7.
Now we have to realize before we play this that I have given my notice and I am fucking gone.
Can okay. anyone make this will be a fun game for everyone. Try to make some observations. This is like a class. As you see this, what are some things that might have been included because Kevin was leaving? All right, yeah. Play.
Okay.
They have been partners and adversaries, champions and rivals. Through it all, there has been a unique bond. They were good friends, but now they make better enemies. In a no-holds-barred war for the WWF Championship, Shawn Michaels and Diesel will once and forever destroy a bond that has tied them together through hell and high water. For Shawn Michaels, it's been a lifelong dream to become the WWF Champion. In his quest, he hired a 7-foot monster by the name of Diesel as protection along the way. Familiarity bred a friendship and eventually a partnership and even a championship. Consequently, they coveted a common goal, but there can only be one WWF champion. Their success
so far, so
soured
good.
To resentment. A mutual mistrust ultimately led to a bitter parting. It was Big Daddy Cool who realized the dream first. As WWF champion, it appeared that Diesel would lead the new generation into the next millennium. But a year of being champion made Diesel miserable. Grueling matches and the burden of leadership were too much for the 7-footer's shoulders.
A year of brutal matches
was too much for the big man.
Too much for the big man's shoulders as he continually reached those shoulders into his fucking pockets and came out empty from the amount of fucking money that was paid him. While Shawn Michaels occasionally lost his smile during that fucking run of Big Daddy Cool Diesel, the big man said, "Fuck this. And I will now go to Turner with Scott Hall and get paid some serious fucking money since you made me the goddamn champion before him anyway." Okay, what's the rest of it?
But take a cold cut sandwich from catering on your way out, Kev.
Exactly.
Look at the guy behind Sean. What do you think's going on with him?
He's saying, "Why didn't I get fucking cast in Pumpkinhead too?"
Yeah, well, I was going to say that if they ever do the Goonies, Sloth at a young age, like young Sloth, he's in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Sean's not looking so good there either.
No, I think it's after
it was post Syracuse. Right?
Do you want to continue the package, or do you?
Yeah, let's see what they got. Let's see what they got here.
Led to the title. A series of incredible setbacks strengthened Shawn as a man and as a WWF superstar. A return to his roots and to his dream found Shawn knocking on the door to the WWF title. And at WrestleMania 12, he kicked it in. Shawn defeated the legend many consider to be the greatest WWF champion of all time, Bret Hart. The same man who ended Diesel's reign as champion. Now
the same guy they would fuck in Montreal.
The torch of the new generation. Ironically, the man who once protected Shawn along the road to the title is the same man who intends to run Shawn down and in the process shatter his dream and destroy his life. The 7-foot punk with a chip on his shoulder has lured his former ally into a no-holes-barred match for the WWF Championship. Now, the bond that ties them is contempt. And in your house, their bond will be broken forever. One man will walk away champion, having destroyed an ex-friend. One man will walk away having lost everything.
Just a question, you know, 7-foot punk.
Yeah, 7-foot punk.
7-foot punk. Now, was this like the Yoko ring? Was this the hard ass ring at this time?
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Fuck yeah. Okay.
I'm watching Sean get bumped around, and it's not even bouncing.
No, it doesn't.
He's not heavy enough to bounce the ring. No,
but I'm a 7-foot punk. Watch this fucking match, and it's just like, yeah, I'm such a fucking punk. And you know who wrote? You know who wrote that? That's all Caesar's fucking verbiage. That's Vince.
You think he wrote the promo? The package?
Oh, a fucking 7-foot punk? Who uses the word punk to a 7-foot, 320-pound guy?
The boss.
Exactly.
And Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, their friendship has reached the end of the road. And I promised the Click a party tonight, and it ain't gonna happen till the chin music is cued. And myself and the Click are dancing all over Big Daddy Cool's face. And believe me, one way or another, it's going to happen.
Anything, I'll tell you one thing. Hey, Vince, you going to be out there tonight? Somewhere tonight, I got a little something for you. All right? I don't know when it's going to happen, but I got a little something for you tonight. I got something for all you little fans out there, you little Clicksters. Because you know what? It's live, and when it's live, I'm digging it the most.
All right, there you hear it. Vince, beware, and back to you.
So my question is,
McMahon?
Yeah, I understand that.
Are you speechless? McMahon is speechless, ladies and gentlemen.
You and Michaels in your prime. There wasn't a dry set of panties in the house, were there?
No, we're pretty popular cats.
That's what I'm saying. You were meat, man. You guys were the chick meat out there at the time. Allison agrees. Lindsay's with her. Brandy, got the whole posse.
Drug tested.
Let me see that, big dog. Let me see. What are you weighing in at right here, dude? You're puffy.
I'm a little puffy because I've been drinking beer because I don't give two fucks, but.
What are you, three? I'd say 330 here.
Probably 325.
Okay. That was close.
Really that's a big old punk right there.
Are you scared? Are you worried?
Huh? That's where CM Punk got that whole CM Punk thing from. Me being called a punk.
Don't you go down to Vince here? Or, oh, no, you throw the vest at him, right?
Yeah. And that fucking thing is like... like a bunch, probably weighs 35 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm a monster.
Now you're a monster.
I'm a monster. He's here. He must have agreed to do the finish. Let's build him.
Lothario, clearly a breast man.
Something I paid for.
And right on McMahon's head.
Now, was that just a shoot, or did he know that was coming?
No, he didn't know that was coming.
you hit him in the face with it.
Oh, Jesus. Let's not smart up the fans. Hey, maybe we'll pull this fucker's leg off later.
We're talking about Mad Dog by Sean, whose career was cut short.
There it is, Vince. Cut short by an automobile accident.
Here comes Hulk Hogan. Whose side is he on?
Yeah, Bobby.
See where Bobby got it from. You wearing a cup?
Did you guys need time? Were you guys running a little short on the pay-per-view here? Because this fucking opening. I think your song looped three times. How much ink did you have at that time? You didn't have the whole...
No, I just had I had two small little tattoos. I didn't get my ink until I was 50.
TNA, you had it, right?
I
remember, yeah.
Boom! There you go. Suck on that,
Sean. Sean's so damn good. I mean, did anyone bump as good as Sean ever?
No. He's
just fucking.
And he's
great.
So good. I mean, he knew
the logic.
But like so many people, are like, man, dude, you're leaving me. It's like, no, dude, just sell. Because he got it. Like I was selling my face while he was selling. Yeah, he hasn't got his fucking shit
off yet. The
chaps
are still on, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is an early hardcore match.
Well, really? How about that? How about this one? Just jump and don't worry. Your big buddy will fucking... your big buddy will get underneath you.
Now, what does he whisper? He's obviously... He buries his head, so he's just checking to see if you're all right?
Yeah. You okay?
Yeah.
I'm good, buddy.
Hugo's boot.
No odor eater.
I was going to say, did you catch a whiff of anything on the bump?
That was stiff as fuck.
Or would you take the heel?
Fuck. There's nothing you can take but the heel when you swing it that way.
Yeah.
I got out on a 2.5 fucking on a shoot. I'm in trouble. Maybe not.
I'm just waiting for the chops. I don't think we're going to get any, but trying to remember.
I think we go back and forth for almost a half hour at one point. People would always, like, Dallas would always say, dude, you leave me. I'm like, would you watch the tape back? I'm fucking selling.
Oh, yeah?
He'd always say, you're leaving me out there too long. I'm like, no, I'm selling, you sell. Just chill. There's an art to this.
So now they gave you, I think, about 20 minutes, right? I think we go. And, you came out 100 miles an hour. I mean, there's no slow build here. I mean, you guys
No.
He's already moonsaulting outside the ring. He took the fucking Ray Stevens deal over the rope and into the guardrail.
Yeah, and at this point now, we're almost in, like, I call this almost like a fucking cage match cell. Like, you know, this is fucking.
Do you, I know you and Sean had a fondness for taking a couple of pills before you go to the ring, and then the go home was the kick in. This was a big pay-per-view, but would you have such fun on an event like this? Or?
Oh, no.
Those were house show activities,
yeah, and like sea house shows, you know, right. Augusta, Georgia, they'd get a fucking Soma match. it wouldn't be a call of town unless you threw Erie in there.
Erie, PA?
Yeah, I always say something about Erie. That's a hell of a bump. I mean, just off of, and that's, you just take your own bump on that.
He was so great. Yeah.
It's not like that turnbuckle is going to catapult you in the middle of the ring.
You are just having some fun on your last night with the boss, aren't you? Jesus Christ.
Wait till I powerbomb Sean and a fucking monitor comes up into his mug.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I loved Vince, but he was just like, fuck, man. Should have paid
Well,
me.
At this point, you know, this is an era now where the fans are smart, right? So you know here that everybody knows what's going on.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, you can kind of function at a different
but
level.
But it also doesn't mean that I don't fucking take one on them and leave with the championship.
No, I know. It's just you guys can kind of function on that other level that I don't think anyone was talking about it, but everyone knew the fans were reading the sheets and
yeah,
knew what the deal was.
I mean, it's the same thing. It 80% of this crowd is kids that are out there that don't know who's a good worker, who's not a good worker. They just
right. But my watching this, knowing that you guys were going, I so enjoy the Vince stuff at the time.
Oh yeah.
This is okay. So now Hebner, here you go. Take it easy. Take it easy with Hebner. Don't hurt him. Okay, he's not a worker. God damn it. All right. Very good. Now I always thought as a rib right here, you should have pulled his cock out. Just take the belt. Pull the dish right out.
I did. Nobody saw it.
You can see. Too soft.
One. It was a head and hair.
I've always said this, no way to go soft on a belt whip, right? No. I mean, it's just, you just got to take the fucking belt.
You can see both of the belt marks on his back.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, but it's like, this is something, you know, we want the kids to try at home. You got a brother that's fucking causing some shit? Here, try this one at home. I don't think you could get away with this now.
The hanging?
No, I don't think you. If you did, the sheriffs would stop by your house and check on you.
Right.
And he's laying. Like they shot it great because you can't tell that he's. But he got a leg up. And, you know, it's like, but he laid there for a minute. You know, I bet you to the point where that son of a bitch is tight on him. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, Josh was pointing out, could have done a whole autoerotic asphyxiation angle here with Sean.
I wanted to play NXS right then.
Yeah. Which cut? Oh, Hutchins. I got it. Hutchins.
You was stand in.
Yeah, that Fink took a nice bump there.
Yeah.
Kev, you've been complimented on your hair by Joe Giacchetti. Giacchetti, excuse me.
It's just a fucking mess. I said, how would a punk have his hair?
How would a 7-foot punk, what would he do with his hair?
Yeah, exactly. What would he do? Oh my goodness.
So when someone's got a belt around your neck and you're tossed over the rope, what's the key to not dying in that spot?
Fucking hoping that if you're in trouble, that big guy in the black leather fucking, that punk bails your ass out.
Or just make sure you have the rope going over, right?
Yeah, but I mean, everything's... The thing about this is nobody had had a match like this before. So none of this shit had been ever... You know, we were on a European trip, and we had a great match in Berlin. Went like 35 minutes, and we did some of these spots. And...
So as a lead up to this, knowing that it was going to,
So nobody saw it, but the crowd in Berlin, and we rocked it, and it was a no DQ match in Berlin. And we didn't have fire extinguishers and all those other things, but we had a pretty good dry run with a lot more time.
This is all before the hardcore title and all that shit, right? I mean, this is...
I mean, it was... Yeah, there was no, there wasn't even the term hardcore.
So, not here, right? ECW was doing it, but certainly not here. I was going to... Somebody asked a question about the agent, who the agent on the show was. But Vince is handling all the finishes here, probably, right? For a pay-per-view?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah. Vince and Pat.
Right.
Yeah. Sink it in 1, 2. Oh, not today. Shawn Michaels drunk kick out. See how Sean keeps the arm down on his side? It's just a, he doesn't kick out super strong.
Right. That's the psychology of selling. And we've talked about it on air. How many times somebody will sell a knee for 10 minutes and then for the finish, climb the turnbuckle with no problem and catapult themselves halfway across the ring.
And you know what? I mean, when he comes, I mean, when he does turn it on, I mean, it's a slow burn and then he gets his shit going. But it's, you know, I mean, he sells for the majority of this match.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting a little movement here. People are coming.
Are you, how much do you pay attention to the house? Like the audio is down here, but when I watched this earlier today, it was a hot crowd basically through the whole thing. Are you guys pacing based on the fans? Are you just not listening to any third party interaction?
You always listen to the people, because if they're too hot and it's not time to go, I've got to give him a hope spot. I've got to do something for him to slow down the burn.
Explain hope spot.
I've basically been beating his ass. You're about to see a hope spot right here.
Okay.
But not this. I mean, I'm going to powerbomb him first, but and nobody's ever thrown any. I mean, I knocked Brett through the table at Survivor Series. So this will be the second table spot. And watch this monitor. Fucking watch Vince just eat this monitor.
Boom! Oh, shit. Yeah. That was unplanned.
And then no fucking sell it. Like a typical Vince McMahon. Stay down, Sean. Fucking, I just took a monitor to the fucking head. But so, I mean, there's no hope. I mean, it's over. He's not going to fucking, he's not going to answer the bell, and I'm going to win the championship.
Right. You even put it on.
Yeah,
telling the rest, put the belt on me.
The belt on me. Let's do this. Come on. He's not going to make it out of there. So I think you guys know the finish. And look at that table, man. That table's got.
Talk about the width of the table.
And look at the wooden sides. That ain't one of these fucking little bullshit, let's saw through tables. That's a fucking table.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. You can even see where the break is, how the wood splintered.
Yeah, that wasn't no cut table. So here's a hope spot. It looks like, you know, what's he going to do? And then, oh, my God. And, of course, nobody has really been shot in the face with a fire extinguisher. So nobody goes like, oh, I know exactly what that feels like.
That's true.
You know, so... You know, and now he's just now here we go. Here he comes. But he's slow build. Boom. Watch him kip up.
Yeah.
Boom. Now shit's on.
Yeah.
Now he's ready to go.
Lit him up again. Whole nother level, fans. I mean, they were hot for the whole match, but now you just get to that whole nother level.
And it's just like, you son of a bitch. Now it's just like, all right, man, you hit me with that chair. He's got the fucking headset stuck on it. Wham! Get that.
This is such a pivotal time right before you guys go, because, you know, the Monday Night Wars had been happening for 7 months, and it was like back and forth, right? WWE, WCW. Once you guys go, and then when Hogan turns, I mean, there's no looking back. So
we beat him 8 straight weeks once we both got there, I think. And then Hogan joined us, and then it starts it. And
then it's the full run after that, right?
It's 8 weeks plus 70, whatever the fuck, 74, 75.
Had Vince, and we'll never get an answer unless he joins us. Could happen on Click This. We'll see. You guys are still close. Had he been able to see that, would he have let you guys go? Would he have dug in and found the money to keep you guys?
Yeah, but nobody would have been able to see it happen, because it had to happen.
That's what I'm saying. If he had a time machine, if he could see the future, would he have fought to keep you guys?
Oh, absolutely. Because
or stubbornly said, we can do it. We can do it without him. We'll change it. We'll do something else. We'll bring someone else in.
I think that if one thing we've seen during this return of Vince McMahon with the 51%, there's nobody smarter than Vince McMahon.
See, I'd be sitting ringside right now if I was him watching this going, I can't have this again. Can't do another rematch. I'd be questioning myself.
Yeah, but I mean, when it comes down to it, yeah, this moment right here is Gettysburg, you know. This is probably like, you know, Shiloh or something like that. Like, this is a win for the Confederates, but when it comes down to it, the WWE wins. It's streaming. They've got billion-dollar deals. Like, all of this shit plays out, and it just makes the WWE a stronger entity at the end.
Well, now, yeah, but I mean, at the time, well,
I mean, but yeah, but that's, I mean, you got to, I mean, I think Vince always plays the long game.
Taking it outside.
I don't even know where the fuck we're at right now. Oh, this is the, I think I'm going to be getting a leg here shortly.
Wade Keller wrote the following. Because Kevin Nash and Scott Hall had nothing to lose because they realized the WWF needs them for the next month more than they need the WWF, now that they have WCW jobs, they were said to be flagrantly violating WWF rules during the tour, be it being late for the bus to other infractions.
Never late for the bus.
All right, here's the Vachon spot, so we should...
We would never were late for the bus because we wouldn't do that to the boys. Now, sitting in our fucking chairs smoking weed, yes.
Different story. Thank Different God story. You pulled the right leg. Imagine.
I told him to give me the fuck. I said, dude, give me the fucking Iggy. When I fucking like feed me the right one, or you're gonna fucking be getting hip fucking replacement in the morning.
You could have made him a goddamn paraplegic. So now this is a Patterson spot. Yes.
Oh, yep.
Right, he and Mad Dog were friends, right?
Yeah.
Like that damn French Canadian posse.
Get damn hit him. Get that with the fucking leg, you know. Tap your foot there like fucking the Babe Ruth or something, you know, son of a bitch. God damn you. Point to the center field. Yeah. See, I always got a hand up. I'm like, fuck that shit, man. If somebody came at me with a knife, I wouldn't fucking feed my chin. I'd get a hand up.
For everybody's, you know, CTE comments, please take note. Kevin protected himself pretty well.
Always protected myself. I wasn't fucking stupid. It wasn't my childhood dream to be a pro wrestler. I just wanted some fucking money.
That damn cut was so late. They missed the shot. I mean, just after it, but. And there it is.
Now, and watch the professional me just roll out so he can have the ring.
Give him his moment, yep.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go up against him now.
Shawn Michaels, the winner
in the ratings.
He just made a reference to Razor. He made a reference to Hulk. Yeah, because you missed it on the fucking live feed.
Exactly.
There we go.
That match was given 4.5 stars.
Holy shit.
In the Observer.
And it wasn't in fucking Tokyo?
It wasn't in Tokyo. It wasn't somebody under 5 feet that went over. Well, close.
No, fuck Shaw's 6'2".
Is he 6'2"?
6'1", 6'2". He's, okay. Yeah, fuck Shaw's not a... Shaw's, fucking 225.
Okay. I thought I had a shot against him. 6'2". No. It's big.
No.
So, yes, you got 4.5 out of the Observer.
Yeah, but after I was, you know, after Scott and I blatantly broke the fucking rules, you know, God forbid, it's okay to drink a fucking gallon of Jack Daniels and eat a fucking 900 fucking pills, but boy, to smoke something that God put on this earth that just grows freely. No. I guess
What was the testing policy at this point?
Oh my God! If you fucking, it was $1,500, $3,000, and then fired.
But for everything?
For pot.
But I mean, pot, gas.
Gas, yeah. I don't think. I think the only person that was ever came up positive for the gas while we were there was somebody fucking dropped some Winstrol in Shawn Michaels' beer.
Winstrol, the steroid?
Yeah, because fucking Sean was like, we used to call him Baby Elvis. He was like 245. He was eating meal for meal with me and Scott and putting on weight. And there's this cover at a WWF magazine, and it's him. It's like the Christmas issue, and it's him on top. It's like he's inside of the TV. It's like a TV inside of a TV inside of, you know, and there's a shot and he's got this big like burble of fat hanging out. And he's like, what the fuck, you guys? What did somebody tell me? We're like, hey, dude, man, we thought she had a mirror in the room, you know? But he would be like, I'd eat pancakes every single morning on the road, like 4 giant pancakes every morning. Because I was big, man. I was young. I was only in my like early 30s. Hell, I could eat like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, we have a full house, and you guys are waiting to talk to Kev. And let me switch to gallery here so I could see everybody's happy face. That includes this. Who is this here? San Antonio Airbnb. We got to make you smile. You look like you're at a funeral. All right, there we go. You were doing you had the Kurt Cobain going for a while there. All right,
can
let's
you say that. Can you say that?
As long as I leave a fucking note.
See, now that's good humor,
Lindsay. See, that's comedy. You had to wait 30 episodes, but you
got
to laugh.
I got it.
Lindsay, where are you? You're gonna have our first question today.
Oh wow! Thanks.
Yeah, she is.
Sorry about your father.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
How are you doing?
I'm day to day. It's been 2 weeks exactly as of today, so still really surreal. It doesn't feel like it hasn't set in yet, but man, you know, it hits when it hits.
There's no recipe, right, Kev? No, there's
no. And it's you know, yesterday was I think 14 weeks for us. And it's amazing how I couldn't tell you the last time I had spaghetti. I know it was in the last 7 days, but I can tell you like to the hour how long my kid's been gone. So it doesn't change for a long time.
I'm unfortunately not feeling now. So
yeah, and it's just. So, you know, are you angry right now? Is that what do you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anger's going to be the first thing. And yeah. I mean, I'm still, if I see, like, if I go to like Walgreens to pick up some shaving products or some deodorant or something, and I see like a 25-year-old kid, and he's being a dick to like somebody, and I'm like, why does that motherfucker get to live when my kid wasn't a dick? And I'm angry because he's alive and my kid's not. Then you go like, just go out to the car, just, you know. But it's, you know, and my mom passed, it was the same way. Every time I'd go someplace, I'd see a 54-year-old like woman, and I'd be like, why does she get to live? Why is my mom gone? So
You know, the weird thing that I'm doing right now is that every day at my work, I have to write down the date, like, a lot. So I, every day when I write down a new date, it pops into my head, like, my dad is not going to be able to see this date. And that's one of me, like, every morning. So it's weird, but.
Have you had anything that, like, any kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, but something that's happened that's kind of paranormal?
Absolutely. It happens, like, almost daily.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, man. It's just like, and it, like, I swear my son tap dances every Tuesday on that floor of the room that I sleep in. I mean, it sounds like it every Tuesday, and I can't figure out what the noise is, what could, because it's just me and my wife now. It's not like there's anybody else in the house. Occasionally I will see Gregory Hines in the bathroom, but
in Florida, well, forget it.
That was for my girl, Lori Petty, who was, that was her man. And she just, that was the love of her life. And for those that don't know, Gregory Hines has been passed for quite some time, but,
and was a great dancer.
Oh, unbelievable. A great actor, but a great human being, but just hell of it. I mean, when I hear the reference to tap, I always think of Gregory Hines.
What did you want to share with us, Lindsay?
So, well, back to the match. I just wanted to know what you guys did after the match, because I know that there's probably a famous story in there somewhere.
There is.
We went the hotel that we stayed at. I don't know if it was a Hyatt, a Radisson, because I think both of those hotel chains at that time had those revolving restaurants, you know, that were up on top of the, and it would slowly revolve. And if you got fucked up in it, you'd like, couldn't remember where the hell the pisser was, because the whole restaurant had moved since they sat you. But, we had an Omaha steak, and, Sean didn't drink wine, but I drank some wine, and he had a couple of beers, and we just, you know, what I thought people got into the business for was just put each other over. You're great. No, you're great. Oh, you were fantastic. No, you were fantastic. You were a punk. Hey, watch it. But no, we just talked, and just, you know, we reminisced and knew that was going to be the last time that we had a pay-per-view together, but we knew that coming up at the Garden, we were going to have one more match. We have that cage match at the Garden coming up. And but we made no reference to the curtain call at that dinner. So
Tatanka wasn't invited, notably.
But we have to say, though, that before the promo before the match, Sean makes reference to his clique. And I say, you know, basically fuck the clique. So the clique must have been Sean. Therefore, all that heat that the clique had was actually Sean's heat. So Tatanka, right. I think this buries the Tatanka theory that we were involved in any form or fashion.
All right. Well, thank you, Lindsay. I do have to move on. I'm being told there are many questions. Hang Nobody has there, to leave sweetheart. Exactly at 10. Does anyone have to leave at 10? It's a school night.
I do.
But we can. It's a school night.
Dr. Dickenstein has to.
You know, we can never get off the air here. All right. How about John? John Hickson would like to say something. Hi, John.
Hey, Kev. How's it going?
Hey, John.
Oh, so you've told the story about after you gave your notice to Vince, you know, he asked you to put over Undertaker, put over Shawn, and then put over the Ultimate Warrior. Now, I know you said it'd be an honor for Undertaker honor. I could never hear what you said when he asked you to put over the Warrior.
I said, fucking the Warrior can go over if he can take one on me. In other words, it's a shoot. I'll go out there and wrestle him. If I beat the fuck out of him, I win. If he beats the fuck out of me, he wins. And he went, okay, that won't happen.
I would have given it to Warrior if it ended at the rope shaking. Because he excelled at that. It going any further, though, I probably would have had my money on you, Kev.
He would have came back after that match doing a pirate gimmick, missing an eye. Because that's how long it would have went. If it took me about 2 seconds to pop one of his eyes out of his head, and that would have been the end of that fucking deal.
Carl Ulay could have lent him the eye patch after you guys kept him down from getting a big push.
That motherfucker's still going strong.
Thank you, John. Bryant? Is Bryant with us? Haremza?
Yes, I am here. Yes.
Hey, Bryant.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
I got to see. How do I can't find. I've got like. I can't see. Ah, there's
we're all
Bryant.
Just everywhere. All right.
I see.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I just kind of as a fun fact here, this was actually my first ever WWE show I went to. This show in Omaha. So my question really is, when you're putting together a match like this, where it's kind of this hardcore stylish match, how much of this do you go over in the beginning with Sean? Do you call anything kind of on the fly for spots during a match like this?
We had worked against each other so much that what we basically we had like a thumbnail of what we were going to do and where the spots were. What I used to always try to do on pay-per-view matches is break it into four sections. And I actually learned this from Brett. For the first Royal Rumble, when I was the Intercontinental Champion, I wrestled Brett when he was a champion. And you wrestle like the open, and then you wrestle like that second 5 minutes, and then usually the third 5 minutes is the heat, and the last 5 minutes is the go home. And you know what everything's called. You know, like what, you know, because that's the hardest thing working without a net is, you know, some guys do a neck breaker, but some guys turn left, some guys turn right. So I just need to know, you know, which way you go with it. So, okay, you turn that, you move that shoulder. So, okay, that's, you know, Goldberg went the opposite way as Dallas did. So, when you lay all that shit out, like my shit, like when I just grab you and I say snake eyes. And then as he's coming up, as I'm walking by him and I'm just in the middle of just where it looks like I'm jawing to the crowd, you know, I'll just tell him, you know, watch the boot. You know, as I walk by him, then I'll pick him up. And if I send him off, now I don't have to say big boot because he knows the boot's coming. Or I might say duck the boot, you know, elbow. And we had, you know, we'd worked so many times that we had just, you know, a catalog of spots that we could put together. And then anytime, like when you get to a point and you need to get the time cue from the referee, you need to get like basically to readjust. Like when you're on your fucking phone and you got to hit the recenter. When you're trying to figure out where the fuck you're going because you're
GPS.
When you shoot ahead and you go like, where the fuck is this next turn at? And then you pick fucking you have to hit. So you get him in. I got him in that like that neck vice, and we called a couple of spots from there to get to the where we're going to go home. So, but it's not. I mean, it's not rocket science. That's for damn sure. I mean, it's, you know,
it helps when you've worked with the person too, right? You have that shorthand, and
it also helps when you're in the ring with fucking, you know, like I was so blessed during that run with between Taker, Brett, Scott Hall, and Shawn Michaels, and Sean Waltman. That was like the majority of the people I worked with. Bam Bam Bigelow. I mean, all these guys are Hall of Fame guys. So every night I'm going to the ring and I'm getting to the ring with a Hall of Fame guy. It's not like I'm getting in the ring with some shitbird. So everybody knows how to wrestle. Everybody knows what the fuck they're doing. And everybody's bigger than life. So
Shame you didn't get a run with Ahmed Johnson toward the end.
Yeah, I he was a big cat. I could have sold for him, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I always heard of like a bit of a cement mixer, right? Isn't that the term?
Well, that's what fucking Scott used to call me.
Really?
He's like, you'd be in the middle of a match and be, Kev, you know this shit's fake, right?
Like, Anthony Piers. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name. I saw it quickly. Where's Anthony?
That is perfectly okay. Kevin and Sean, both you guys are way too cool for frickin' school. Thank you for having me on the show. That's number one. Number two, go Pats! Number three, Kevin, I got a question for you. I know at this point you did not give a bleep about, you know, your standing, but was it important to you at all to put Sean over strongly the way you did? Because this was, I was at the WrestleMania 11 match. This match was about 5, 6, maybe 7 times better. Did you find it important that you put Sean over big time here?
Yeah, I mean, we were best of friends. I mean, we just spent 3 years of our lives together and spent every day of our lives together. And this was kind of, I hated to leave. I hated to leave him, you know, leave him dry. But at the same time, I had, you know, I had a wife that was, when I left, my start date for WCW was June 12th. My son was born on my start date was June 6th for WCW. My son was born June 12th. So my whole deal was, fuck this. It's one thing for me and my wife. My wife was a school teacher. She was making a little bit of coin. But at this point, man, it's like, it's time to make some money. Like I'm going to have a baby. I need to start putting together a portfolio. I can't go on guessing if I'm going to get paid for fucking Sacramento. What I need to know at the end of the fucking week that I got 25-30,000 bucks coming in.
You need to have Blue Chew as an advertiser is what you need.
Exactly. Because they pay. Exactly. And, you know, that was the whole thing was I didn't want to leave. I knew. See, people think that when we left that we were going to this juggernaut because people associate WCW at that time with the NWO. That fucking WCW sucked. It was fucking rotten. So we were going to a shitty product and with not that good a production.
I was going to say production was inferior. Yeah,
was inferior. And we were leaving our friends knowing that nobody at WCW wanted me and Scott's fucking ass there. But we were going there for one thing. M-O-N-E-Y, baby. And if anybody that couldn't understand that, I've said this a million times. I'll say it a million one at this point. It's so funny how everybody calls it the business. I love the business. I love the Ben. I'd do anything for the business. But when you fucking treat it like a business, you're a fucking son of a bitch. You're an asshole. You know what? If you would have, in the middle of my run, if you'd have came up to me and said, we're going to take the belt off you. We're going to put you at the drive-thru at fucking Wendy's. You're going to work 40 hours a week. At the end of the year, you're going to have $2 million. I'd be like, what shift? I don't give a fuck about
who nothing. Wouldn't.
Right. I go to work because I get fucking paid. I don't go to work to fucking sign autographs in the airport and fucking have to call my wife and say, just jostle bills around. Which one's the most overdue? Fuck that.
All right. And a note to Kaufman, if you're in here, the ladies would like a female option on the 11 soft shirt. Or, as Allison made a suggestion, maybe a double D natural shirt to parallel the 11 soft shirt. I mean, this is, you know, it's equity. So let's think about that. Sam Hantosh, where are you?
Over here, Sean. What up, Big Kev?
Hey, hey.
Oh, well, here, let me see if I can find it.
Let me know when you
find it. I got you. All Michigan. Right,
yes, Buck, sir.
Michigan boy. Oh, that's right. That's why you had the Hyman.
Yes, sir. We need a reload, though, bro. It's sold out everywhere.
I think we're reloading February 1st. I think we're doing another drop. Push those guys, man. Tell Darren and the boys, man, push that jackknife.
Looking forward to it, man. Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely a drop. Whereabouts in Michigan are you?
Ken.
Yeah.
Grew up in Dearborn.
What high school?
Fortson. Go Tractors.
What was it? Pioneers was Dearborn, right?
Yep, that's Dearborn High.
And then Etzel Ford with the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, good memory.
Yeah, fuck, I lived there for 20 years.
Well, anytime you're in town, hit me up, man.
Cool. My sister's birthday is April the 11th. My sister turned 60. So we're gonna try to come up there. And then I'm also going to go on a fucking a rampage where anybody that's eating a square pizza that says it's Detroit pizza, I'm going to murder. So
terrible. Yeah, I'm with you on that, bro.
What the fuck is you've been in Michigan how long?
My whole life.
Yeah. Fucking Little Caesars is Michigan's pizza. Little Caesars is Detroit's pizza. And there was no fucking square pizza with fucking sauce on top of the shit before. Fuck that. These marketing I can't take it.
I'm with you. I agree with you, man. I'm going to piggyback off your what you were just talking about right now, right? So you said, you know, the mentality was with you and Scott, you're going to WCW. Yeah, it sucks. Obviously, you know, nobody knew what was in store and what was going to happen with the NWO. But what were the conversations like with you and Scott? Like, yeah, this sucks, but we're going to make some serious money. What was the mentality like? All right, we're going to go here. We'll make our cash for 2-3 years. Maybe we'll come back to Vince's. Because obviously the business, you know, completely changed right after you guys joined over there and everything. Yeah, but
the minute we fucking left and we started kicking their ass and everybody, and then we started immediately recruiting every piece of talent we could from the WWF. You know, like, you know, we tell everybody, hey, this is what we're getting, and we can get you more. Because we had favored nations. So we'd say, you know, ask for 2.5. Because if they came for 2.5, we got 2.5. You know? And I remember when we made this move, and Scott and I were in the car, and we were driving, just me and him, and I was driving. And he looked over at me and says, yo, Kev, I don't know about you, man, but, you know, for fucking the last 3-4 years, man, I've been doing this original art, man. And yeah, you know, I sell a painting here or there. He says, but it's about time we start fucking doing some signed lithograms. What don't you think? I said, hell yeah. He said, I just want to make some fucking money. I said, I'm with you, bro. Just make some money. And we knew we had each other. And that's, I mean, it sounds like a Bon Jovi song.
What do you think, guys? Would you buy the shirt?
7-foot punk. I would.
Right.
I used to tell them all the time when they brought me in, they'd say, we're going to call you, you know, we're going to say you're the 7-foot diesel. I'm like, well, yeah, but like I played college basketball and people know that my name's Kevin Nash and, like, on the fucking roster, it's going to say I was 6'10". That doesn't matter. No, it does, dude. Like, so then I'm 6'10", and then I'm 2 inches, at least 2 inches taller than Kane. And Kane's, you know, 7 foot. Exactly. So then I'm 7'2". I, you know, just goes on until a legitimate fucking 7'2" guy. Like, remember when Shaq walked on one of the shows And it's all of a sudden like, oh, so that's what a 7'2 motherfucker looks like. Now he's got fucking Big Show by, you know, 2 inches.
Domino Chris, where are you?
Oh, Domino.
There we go. The karaoke night going too. What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey.
Well, all right, so this one's no, go ahead, Kev.
I gotta find you. This is not this system. Why doesn't he should like the person that's talking to me should like pop in the middle of my screen?
Well, he gets he'll get a halo. He'll get a, like,
yeah. We
a
get green. The pin. I might be on the top now.
No, he's not. No, you're on the like the our master screen now.
There we go. Perfect. This one's a bit random. Step away from wrestling for a second. I was always a big sitcom guy. I grew up with like Sanford and Son, All in the Family stuff you couldn't do today. What was for both Sean and Kevin? What was your favorite growing up, and what was one that you just a bunch of people liked, and you're like, man, I don't get it.
As far as sitcoms,
yeah.
I mean, the ones I was a huge Sanford and Son fan. I watched All in the Family, which of course threw you onto the Jeffersons because that was a spinoff. Let me think about some of the sitcoms. You know, like, but also at that point, like, I grew up, so I'm so much older than you. Like, I Dreamed of Jeannie was a sitcom, you know, fucking just, I can't say that sucked because just looking at her alone, like, you know, but.
I'm going to say, we covered extensively you hammering off to that action.
Yeah, that and Gilligan's Island and, you know, I mean, there was, sitcoms are like Three's Company. I think that was like everybody liked that. But some of the shit, man, I was never like a Happy Days guy.
You know, figures, like, dear, you pick one of them near colored shows, being from Detroit. Christ's sake. Go ahead, Kev. I didn't mean to step on you there. I just wanted to represent the popular opinion, if you know what I'm talking about there. My new fucking toy. Have I run this into the ground yet for the show?
No.
Holy Christ.
That was a combination of Carol O'Connor and Pumpkinhead from that opening still shot of Shawn Michaels.
And a little Joey Diaz, maybe.
Yeah, a little something like that.
Oh, and I think Taxi's probably my favorite.
That was so far ahead of its time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that fucking... That may be... Because there's very few that hold. That still holds.
Oh, my God.
Sanford and Son holds up, man. I watch that sometimes. I'll be like, how the fuck did they get away with saying all... You couldn't... Like, and he was saying, you know, you couldn't do All in the Family now.
Yeah, no. And at the time, though, it was seen as groundbreaking because it confronted a lot of that racism. So
now it's like...
You just can't say the word. I mean, now you couldn't even say the fucking words. Forget about the context that you're trying to explore the racism and you know, it, no, you just, you know, cancel culture would flame you for even uttering the words. Thank you, Domino. Good one. Eddie Prather.
Very good. Anybody out there, man, don't be afraid to fucking wander away from wrestling because we do it fucking constantly.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Kevin. Oh, can't forget about Welcome Back, Carter.
Yep.
Oh, no, yeah, that was a good one.
Good one. Little Vinny Barbarino.
Yep. Horshack.
Yep. Epstein.
Yep. Washington.
Yep.
Mr. White. So, hey, Kevin, thanks for doing this tonight. And hey, Sean, thank you for doing this with Kevin. Kevin.
You're welcome.
My question for you tonight is, I have heard stories about Owen Hart and his love for pranking people. Were you ever a victim, or did you personally see any of what were some of the best ribs you saw from him? And if you were, if you were ever one of his victims?
I was never a victim. You know what? It's like backdrops. I used to always tell people, I don't give backdrops and I don't take them. And if you don't give ribs, the chance of you being ribbed is plus they never know how you're going to react. I remember one time this is a small rib, but Owen called Scott Hall at like 4 o'clock in the morning. We're in London and we've got like a 7:45 bus trip and we're going to Heathrow up to fly home. And so phone rings and Scott, what the fuck, picks up the phone. Hello, sir. Was it orange juice you ordered with your breakfast? Scott said, I didn't order any breakfast. No, sir, you've got some eggs here. Lovely. So, you know, he goes on and on. And Scott says, you know, at this point, Scott's starting to wake up. And he's like, fucking food sounds pretty good because we were out late as usual. And he says, yeah, orange juice would be fine. So, you know, Scott's laying there in bed and he's waiting. It's like 15, 20 minutes. He calls down. He goes, where the fuck's my room service at? And the guy at the front desk with a completely different voice goes, you didn't order room service.
Yeah.
Scott was like, motherfucker. But
Pat Cook, where are you?
Right over here.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, Pin. Worst things have been done to me. Kevin and Sean, thank you. Loving the podcast, of course.
Thanks, man.
Saving the time. Thanks. Just got a question for you. On a recent episode, you mentioned, Sean asked you how with the NWO, you guys were just able to go out and talk and get over without having to do much more than that. And you said that it's because you guys were pop culture. I don't know why that just hit my ear. Interesting, because I started thinking about, you know, Hulk Hogan in the Reagan 80s, you guys and the Attitude Era in, you know, the Jerry Springer Girls Gone Wild 90s. Is it even possible that wrestling hits that same peak again and has that same connection with pop culture in a society where pop culture, it changes every 5 minutes?
Well, not only that, though, it's so highly restricted, you know? I mean, when you're actually having a conversation, and as we did on this show about maybe it's cold outside being, you know, inappropriate for today's Christmas listeners. It's just like, you know, and people, like, they use this term woke. I saw a thing on Instagram today. It's like, do people use the word woke because they don't know how to spell intelligent?
Well, it's come to have an entirely different connotation now, and
like DeSantis down here in Florida is trying to explain how there is no value for Black studies.
I saw that.
I mean, it's just like. You know, I'm just waiting any minute to, just, you know, for Uncle Remus to just say, wait a minute, zip-a-dee-doo-da. I mean,
thank you for the voice tonight. We needed. They vote, though. You know, I mean, this isn't a very good play.
Yeah,
but want to be cynical and say that they're all in it for the vote anyway. It's a very poor play.
But when you get the vote. Like, number one, Charlie, I think that Charlie Crist probably spent like $11 on his, you know, I mean, Jesus, like if like DeSantis would have these huge rallies and Charlie Crist would be on some fucking megaphone that fucking Eric Sims would have selling shit at a fucking, you know, UAW hall. I really thought, I mean, you're not going to win. Who was talking about that the other day that they were saying that Florida is like such a such a unique state because it's red and it's such an older, you know, like the population is older and like all the different, like you can't get when they're saying, you know, DeSantis, you know, is, his polling is this, and this in Florida, but it's like, there's no place like Florida, man. It's just such a different, that's why we have Florida Man. I mean, and we're not the only one that has Florida Man. Every fucking radio station in America has Florida Man, because this is such a. And he was so pro vax when it first came out, because if you remember, Trump was put the hyperspeed on the vaccination program,
right.
And then all of a sudden it's just that whole thing just changed.
Well, they put it in a place with no delivery system.
Right.
So the White House changes hands, and there's no way to get this vaccine into the hands of, you know, medical professionals and people that need it. So once that happens, it now becomes somebody else's vaccine. And then, you know, the anti-vaxxers come out. You know how this goes. You have to be contrarian to whoever's in the White House if you're not in that particular party. Bipartisanship is over, and we're in this funky world we're in now. I do thank you for the question, Pat. Josh Henney is here.
Hey, how's Sean and how's Big Kevin?
Good, Josh. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing very, very well. Thank you. Now I'm in a hotel this evening, so my painting is not near as good as your painting. I'm just saying.
It's unique.
Yeah, got some. I'm here in.
Looks Western like you're being Nebraska, attacked. So. Looks like you're in a Hitchcock film, like you're Tippi Hedren in the phone booth.
Either that, or you're a staunch member of the Audubon Society.
Well, we can't talk about that. That's first rule of the Audubon Society.
Ah, never talk about the Audubon Society.
That's right. That's right. I have been catching up. I was lucky to be on your first live show and things like that, just listening in and whatnot. This last couple of days, I've been binge listening to you and Sean. So you guys are ingrained in my brain right now. All I hear is your two voices.
Is that good or bad?
I was going to say.
Well,
you might lose your job tomorrow.
Self-employed. I can fire myself.
Anyway. Good for you.
Do we need to do a wellness check?
Ironically, I am a funeral director. So, you know, I don't know who you call. Do I call myself? So
I got a question.
Sure.
Do you push for the burial, or if somebody comes in and just, like, they don't know what they want? Do you push for the burial, or do you just say, you know, cremation is a much cheaper way to go?
So how I approach it is I don't push anybody. I'm a very, you know, I go like, in thinking how like I want to be treated guy. As yeah. far as that goes. And I don't know. Did they push that on you guys?
No, we knew my son knew. I mean, we all have had the conversation so many times that we were, yeah, just.
Sure. Yeah. No. And that's why I just wanted to put you guys over. You guys have been Kevin and you both, Sean, just with everything that's gone on the last, as you said, 14 weeks and, you know, watching Lindsay's family. Our family went through a tragic deal back in May. My cousin, who we grew up as brothers, was electrocuted during a hobby activity and was killed instantly. So I had to take care of him, went, picked him up at the house, and it was tough stuff.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, did everything, and I'd do it again. But, you know, watching you guys process this, I'm so proud of you with the strength that you've got. I understand it's so hard. Nobody can imagine what you're going through. I see families go through this all the time, and it's not easy anytime. I love how you're approaching it, because there is no handbook. You do what you got to do. You grieve the way you need to grieve. I was just listening, you know, sleeping in his bed, things like that. You do what you got to do. And if it makes you feel better, more comfortable, I'm all for it. So yeah, I just want to commend you for you doing what you're doing. Yeah, I know all of us love you.
Yeah, so. Thank you. And I lost my father when I was 8.
Right.
You know, and my mother, I lost my mother when she was 50. I think she was 55. And down the street, I mean, I'm not kidding you, directly down the street, probably, I would say 2 football fields down the street is J.D. Martinson and Son's funeral home. It's in Trenton, Michigan. And he did both my father. He did my father's service and he did my mother's service. And they were both, you know, open caskets. And my mom had cancer and it was really bad. My sister wanted to have an open casket. I was absolutely against it. But, you know, I'd been on the road, so I didn't really feel I had much of a voice. But, and the son was involved a lot in my mom's burial. But just kudos to you because, I mean, to deal with it 3 separate times in my life to the degree that I am and knowing that what you do, no matter what, you're taking a piece of that every day, you know. Amen. You know, you're taking a piece of that every day, and it's appreciated. I mean, the people that, you know, were there with, you know, with my sons were just, Billy Jack Hayes said a long time ago when Scott Hall wanted to break into wrestling, Scott said, what's it take to, you know, to become a pro wrestler? He was just a fan down in Florida. And Billy Jack looked at him and said, it takes a special breed, kid. It takes a special breed. And I say that to you.
Well, I that means a lot. I appreciate it. And, you know, we just love you so much, Kevin. And we all are here for you. You know, that, and that's why I just want to tell you, I didn't want to bring it down or anything, but
no, it's, you know, I'm an emotional person. I'm not afraid to show my emotion. I'm not afraid to be upset. I'm not afraid.
And
I think that being real, I mean, that's,
amen.
I think that's why we resonate.
Right. Yeah. I watched my aunt talk about, my cousin Adam, and you know, she found him on fire and had to have that image. And so we, you know, we're able to see him again and leave that better image. But I tell you, I can't, you know, she's a wreck. You know, I watched.
I sat over my son with my wife and watched him take his last breath, and as peaceful as it is, there's nothing that can prepare you for that.
Yeah. So I just want you to know we are here. We're always here. We've got your back. We were so, trust me, the stiff one, Florida man, Jersey guy. Oh my God. you guys make my day. And I'm just like 2 episodes away from being completely caught up finally. And so I am so glad you guys are here doing this. And
well, at least you see that I'm alive, so you know that I didn't blow my brains out. So
that's right. That's right. hey, you know, wellness checks. What the hell? I just,
you know, think what? And when it came down to it, because I was really kind of, I was kind of upset about it. But then it actually does show that there's a lot of people that give a shit about me.
That's exactly right. Yep.
That's never a bad thing.
So. No, you're just that love that, you know, people just, they just get concerned, and we're so glad you're here. And
I just think it shows me how bad people's standards have dropped. But
that's awesome. Well, anyway, I'm sorry to take up so much time, but,
thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
We're glad. Nice. We're glad you're here tonight. Thank you, guys.
Josh, keep doing what you're doing. Like I say, man, nothing but love, from the Nash family.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
It's an interesting byproduct what happened after Tristan's passing, and you know, I had the discussion with Kev, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, you know, this is real life. We go on. And then I started to realize that, okay, this is going to be our thing, and we'll go through it. And if we're not going to edit it out, if we get choked up, and we did on the air in the weeks following, that's what happens. And a weird thing that I never expected was, and we see it here, if you're looking at the chat, everybody kind of coming together and bonding on that different level of coping. Everyone's got a story. Tragedy touches a lot of people, and just
that's the thing. Nobody gets out of here alive, man.
Right. Right. And it's something that I guess I'd never considered, but that's, it kind of strengthens our bond with our peeps. So,
I think that's a reason that we are different. And it's like, we could be talking about, you know, some of the great,
the Stampede, 81.
Bunkhouse, yes. Stampede. Or some of the great 81 Mid-South matches, but
yeah,
you know, maybe not so much.
Matt, where are you, Matt?
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Hey, so I had a question originally, but it kind of got changed watching the match. I got to think, isn't this the same pay-per-view that had the match, not match, between Gold Dust and Ultimate Warrior? Okay, so given what all the bullshit that Ultimate Warrior said later on in life, you remember anything backstage about him being uncomfortable with the whole outlay of the match or working with Gold Dust?
I think the other thing I can remember is he said something to the fact of it was so weird working with that kind of stigma and not being on a bearskin rug. So, something like that.
He shan't ever live that one down. David Van Boglen?
Hey, guys, hang on. Oh, I got
to
get this one out of the way so I can get this one up in the picture. You guys know
nice.
What to do. Box of gimmicks, baby. We got them all. And I'm looking forward to that new shirt, by the way.
It's coming. They're working on it right now.
It's awesome. I have been tasked by Jeff Jarrett to ask you a question. I have a question of my own, but I've been tasked by Jeff Jarrett to ask you a question.
Okay.
He says, Kev, how are the boxers?
I mean, it's a known fact that boxers love us. So, I mean, I have a, are you going to speak to Jeff?
I told him that I would message him after this, and he said, great, he wants your response.
Just tell him whatever, and that the dried fruit is in the mail.
Okay. Oh, this is awesome.
It's a secret lingo. I mean, there could have been a cocaine deal that just went down here.
If
using code, 6 kilos was shipped from Peru.
they just dried fruits
in the mail.
They just found 120 pounds in the Keys the other day.
That's all?
Dear Key, 120 pounds of cocaine.
I never find that. I never find that. Of all the things I find, it's never 27 tons of heroin.
Yeah.
He also wanted me to make sure that I told you that he loves you very much and he hopes to see you real soon.
Yeah, I'll definitely see him at WrestleMania. I should be out of my my recluse. It's hard to get. Just like the Raw 30. I wasn't ready.
Yeah,
I wasn't ready for people to interact. So.
Well, I'm going to bring it up a little bit, not a wrestling question at all. My question is, I'm born and raised in Michigan as well, and
God bless you.
Yes, I'm on the West Coast.
I think today is Michigan's 186th birthday.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I'm on the other side though. I'm over in Muskegon on Lake Michigan, just off of Grand Rapids area. But when I was growing up, my dream car, being a Michigan guy, was a '69 Mustang Mach 1. What was yours growing up as a Detroit, Michigan boy?
The Fastback.
Nice.
I love the Fastback.
Good choice.
Yeah. A Mach 1. The first Fastback was my favorite, my favorite car. And I tried to actually get my 05 convertible. I wanted to see if somebody could prefab it into a fastback. And the guy said, dude, you'd be better off just. I said, no, people always want to, like, I love old cars, but like, and we had a 67 Mustang. And that was the car I drove my senior year. And if you've ever like sat in it, it doesn't have a headrest. It's got a lap belt, and the entire dash is steel. It's just like, nah. I don't want to be in a. I don't want to be in a toboggan when an 11,000-pound Escalade that now has 700 horsepower, you know, runs into my vintage. Nah, I want some fucking airbags, some shit that, you know. So I'll just keep driving my ragtop. I got brand new. Got it back today. I got brand new upholstery in my Mustang. So it's a smell. Got a new car smell of that leather.
Take a long ride tomorrow, brother.
I'm going to. I'm going to drop the. Oh, it's fucked. It's cold again down here, man. One day yesterday was nice, and then we got like fucking 3 days in a row where it's 60. Yeah. And I know for people, they're like, ah, fuck, just 60 blows. You can see I got a hoodie on right now.
It's 41 over here, so.
Well, it's fucking, it's 40. It's 60. Yeah, 60's for a high.
Right.
I'll tell you what, let me tell you what we got for right now, our temperature.
You 40, bring that up.
We're 47.
Okay, well, that is cold.
Yeah, cold. 47 blows.
Jeremy Strunk.
Nice.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, Jerry?
Well, I'll go back to wrestling. So I was curious, that match we watched earlier, the fact you've given your notice and everything like that. Do you think Vince had any hesitation putting you in that spotlight, you know, in the main event right before you were out the door, or was WCW such a non-factor at that point that it didn't matter?
Well, I was losing, you know, I was losing to their champion, which meant, you know, they had the superior, that was the superior talent, you know, so.
And it was a great match on his show. It's still Vince gets the rating. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is at that point, I think I've still got, when was that match, Sean? What day? Was that April?
Yeah. What was the actual?
Like late April, right?
Yeah, April 28th.
So April 28th. So he's still got all of May and 6 days of June to, you know, before we went out and had the garden match, Jerry Briscoe came up to me and he said, you know, the old man doesn't want you to go. And he said, you know, I said, fuck, man. I said, then cool. I said, match my deal and I'll stay. He said, you know, he can't do that. And I said, dude, then I can't stay.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to leave, you know, God, man. Yeah. There's that picture that at the back of that bus in 96, it was that last tour with Taker and Tex and, you know, Hunter and Steve and geez, I mean, the whole Attitude Era besides Rock. I don't know if Mixon's back there, but you know, everybody else that was in the Attitude Era was in the back of that bus. Top guys are just like, man, I didn't want to leave that. It's like leaving the, and I'm, you know, not a huge baseball, but what was it, the 26 Yankees that had Ruth and Gehrig and all those? I don't know.
Yeah,
somebody will know, but
27 Dominic,
27, yeah. So yeah, we had the 27 Yankees in the back of that mother. So
San Antonio Airbnb.
Oh, it's all three of us. Okay.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, man.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you guys. Thanks for joining us, man.
It means the world to us. Like, just to be coming from no friends to brothers from wrestling because of the NWO for life.
No doubt.
They make a good six-man tag, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What's up? but yes. We're part of this great group, Kevin. Sorry, I got a little choked up earlier about just I lost my dad to suicide about 11, 12 years ago. And
sorry to hear that, man.
So I know.
Tell you what, though, man, it's just just from the darkness of my mind, man. I went there, you know. Like you don't know depression until you fucking until it's in it. And I in no way take anything away from anybody to say that they were weak or say they took an easy way out. You know, it's just.
You don't know somebody's pain, you know?
No, you don't.
Pain and I or just say, it's,
I know your pain, and I feel your pain. So, I mean, I'm with you on that, and I'm sorry, you know.
Yep.
I'm sorry for your loss.
It's been about, it was 12 years ago, September 3rd.
And when you wake up every morning, it's like fucking yesterday, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Especially hard on that day. But I just got back from Japan a couple of days ago from seeing Muda's last match. And
wow.
I was wondering if you had any stories on Muda. Or
I love Muda. He was class act. He was one of the closest of the Japanese talent that I considered him a friend. I do consider him a friend. And we actually, gosh, the only time I ever worked for All Japan, it was me and Muda. Chono came to the ring with us and we wrestled All Japan. It was maybe, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. And it was like two old crippled guys, man. We were both so beat up. And, but it was so funny. He's done well over there. And he had an S-Class. And when he turned his S-Class on, the GPS and everything in the car came on in Japanese. And I was just like, whoa! Because we have an S-Class. And it's just like, I'm thinking like, wow, man, it's like the whole GPS system and everything was in Japanese, which, of course, it would be in Japan. But it was just one of those things where it was like, wow. It took me to his house. And so... Good man, very good man. You're very blessed to have spent. I love it over there. Every time I go to Japan, man, it just I just wish I could speak the language because I absolutely love the culture.
Legend he was, and thank you for the question. Your brothers also.
I watched him as a mark in the Omni. Yeah, me and my wife would go. I remember watching. Gary Hart was his manager.
Sure.
In NWA, yeah. And when I broke in, I mean, we were going back and forth still at that time with New Japan. And my first tour over at New Japan, we spent some time, had a couple of cocktails.
Awesome. TJ Stevens.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good to see you guys.
Sir. How are you?
Good.
Good beard game, man.
Thank you. It's changing colors over time, but I'm gonna roll with it.
You manscaped that? You manscaped that bitch?
It was down to here about a week ago, but I chopped it up. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my shit.
I like it. Sometimes wild's good.
Yeah, and you know what? Where my brain's at right now, it's exactly how I mean. It's just like I get up in the morning. I don't put any gel beer shit. I do this. I give it one of these out of the shower, and that's it. Fuck it.
You're a quarter inch from being able to have your own militia, by the way. So
I felt that so much when you said it because I give it the once over to do one of those and out the door. Hey, we're going to the steel mill. So one of my first interactions with you guys, you referred to the lotion in multiple places to get Gaylord Perry. I recommended the Fred Biletnikoff, right? Because you have a little bit on your sock, a little bit on the forearm, hands are covered. So I'm taking it you're a sports guy. How do you feel about Scott Rolen this year being the one guy getting elected in the Hall of Fame for baseball?
Oh, I'm so fucking disgusted with the baseball Hall of Fame selections. It's just like, it's the exact opposite of the wrestling Hall of Fame. There are so many great guys that every year I'm like, how is he not in the Hall of Fame? How is he not in the Hall of Fame? How is he not in the Hall of Fame? And it's just, but then again, I put Pete Rose in as a player and not as a manager, because it's just like, how do you not have the Major League Baseball player that had the most hits not in your Hall of Fame when he did nothing, you know, his infractions were as a manager.
Mm.
But that's just me.
All right. Mr. Epic. There he's doing his Frank Goodish down there.
Does it work? There we go. What's going on?
How are you?
Good to see you, man.
How are we doing, man?
Flossing. Always good.
Always have that in. Last time you thought it was a joint. I was going to ask, and now my question went away.
This time I thought it was a butt plug. Whoa! Oh. What the fuck?
Those are on the shelf. Don't worry about it. That's okay. For the premium content.
Nice.
I was going to ask. I actually just saw a movie that randomly came. I think it was like on Tubi or something. Who approached you with the idea of slaw?
That was a buddy of mine, John, who actually committed suicide that was in that. John Capp. He came and asked me if I'd do a favor. And I said, yeah. So that was just a favor for a friend.
That was that horror flick we covered when we did your IMDb deal?
I don't know. It wasn't very good.
You were not a fan of that, from what I remember, right?
No, it wasn't very good.
Okay.
But then again, the budget was, you know, I think they cashed, like they sold a Pinto, and I could use that for 79 Pinto for the budget.
What ad agency was that? We'll wrap it up
boom.
With Zoe Lopez. Where are you, pal?
Hey, I'm right here in beautiful Arrowhead Stadium, home of the 5-time AFC Championship matchup.
Got a tough one coming up.
Dead. No, it will be tough. It'll be a good matchup, I think.
No, fucking, they're gonna fucking smoke the Bengals.
You got more faith than I do, and I'm a Kansas City fan.
I don't see him not going to the Super Bowl this year. I should say this, depending on his fucking health.
No, well, I'll say this, Kevin. Is it because you're playing up to the Planet Comic-Con fan base? Since you'll be here on, let's see here, it is March 17th through the 19th at Bartle Hall in beautiful downtown Kansas City.
Well, yeah, because if you know me, one thing I do is fucking play up to fucking make sure somebody stands in front of me, so.
Exactly. Sean, Kev, real quick, I just want to say thank you so much for squeezing me in here. I really love.
That's what she said. Oh!
Get what you're worth. Get what you're worth. That, and I held that very true to my heart for my career. So thank you. Big Kev, Lindsay Lopez, and everyone else, I just want to say grief is a bitch. There is no timeline. Do what you need to do. And I'm so glad that we all have each other to go through it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. This is.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any insight? This is good. It's not like I'm going to fucking wager any money on this game, but do you have any insight on Mr. Mahone's.
His leg.
Status.
Oh, he's negative 10%. Nope. He's got to get it amputated and then he'll walk out there. Honestly,
oh, really? Come on, man. Come on.
No, fuck. I think he'll be 100%.
Nobody's 100%.
I've seen enough video. I've seen enough video from KMBC, all the local. I mean, they have zoomed in on his ankle like no other.
Yeah, but who's
I'm telling you, that, I think he's going to be good.
Who's to say that's not from fucking preseason and fucking Vegas has got the real shit with him fucking.
This is better than QAnon. I'm not going to lie. This is
everything's a work. Everything's a work.
Yeah, everything's a fucking work. He died in his sleep last night.
No, they didn't see his face. Remember, like, what was the guy from Buffalo?
He's going to suit up and be under the center.
No, I'm not. I'm too fat and I'm too old.
They paid you enough, motherfucker. You take that first hit.
No shit.
I would.
So, Big Kev, I do have to ask, because you're coming here in Kansas City in April. I'm so excited to meet you. I cannot wait to meet you. So I got to ask you, what's your favorite barbecue? Is it burn-ins? Is it ribs? Come on, tell me. I can get you the hookup.
I'm a ribs guy.
I got to get you the hookup. I'll make sure that we get you taken care of here in KCMO.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
All right. And we'll do the review. We'll do the rib review on that week's show. Well, thank you, everybody. We had a full house. We got as many as they sent me. I don't know if somebody didn't get in.
So before we go any further, though, shouldn't Owen Hart, we'll call it from now on, anytime we have a rib contest, we'll name it the Owen Hart.
Very good ribs. Yes, exactly. He has some comp, Mr. Perfect also, right? Another one that could have been considered.
All right, guys.
Oh, God. Ugh. The fuck time is it? 10:43. All right, 43 minutes late. That's okay. We wanted to make sure you guys got in. All right, I hope you don't mind going a little long and hanging out with us for a little extra time tonight. But it was nice to see everybody. Kev, dinner? Dinner now, or you had it already?
I had some chicken breasts before I came, and I've got two chicken breasts waiting for me when I get home.
All right, you go hit that. Thank you, ad-free shows, top guys, top gals. We'll see you guys next month. We get you every month, guys. And guys, come to our live tapings if nobody's been there. We do the live events once a month also. So stay tuned for more action. Peace and love.